The topic that we're going to be discussing is something that I actually get a lot of questions on. And to be honest, it's a hard topic to define. And the topic is in the business world. So we have the challenge a lot, especially in America. And actually, this is going to be interesting because I think it's actually more challenging in Eretz Yisrael. And that is going to non-kosher restaurants for meetings. And the reason why I say it's more challenging in Eretz Yisrael is because we're going to be discussing basically the idea of what, how to define Maaseh. And in certain communities in New York, especially, and I've had a number of scenarios where this have come up. One of my first intern jobs, I interned for Michael Bloomberg, at that time, not the mayor. He would love going to trade restaurants, even though he's Jewish. So I remember eating at the 21 Club. And him insisting that I get something to eat there. Now, I'm not talking this year will not be about the, yeah, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. You could ask already. I don't think it's that similar. I did reference that shiur, and this is a big change from that. I gave a shiur on the topic of, which actually did very well because I think it was featured. We spoke about going on, the days off. I gave a share in Camp Misora, and we spoke about going to Great Adventure, going to all these places, what you can eat. And back in my day when we went to camp, so a lot of people used to go to Friendly's. I don't know if this is popular anymore. It used to be a place that everybody knew you could have ice cream there. So the shiloh was, is that why is that not Maaseh? How can I sit in a non-kosher restaurant even though getting ice cream? And that's the goal for the sort of it. This is a little, I would say, a lot different. Number one, it's a business question. But again, it is the question of how to define Maaseh. I think I only have one similar source than I had in the other one. So I think it will be a slightly different. Here in Eretz Yisrael, I think it's different is because if you find yourself in a non-kosher restaurant, which, as you know, here in Eretz Yisrael, the person will tell you it's all kosher. You know, they have all the excuses. So that's really going to look like Maaseh because somebody will come in and see you eating there and wondering what's going on. So I think it is, there is a different case. Again, the Michael Bloomberg case of going to the 21 Club. So I'm not, this year will not discuss non-kosher food. That is obviously a topic within itself, whether or not you can get, cut up fruit or cut up vegetables and so on and so forth. There are major issues when it comes to fish and all these different things. I won't discuss that, but it is something very major to discuss. There are restaurants like the 21 Club that you could actually order a glatt kosher meal that they will serve you double wrapped and they'll have silverware and everything like you're flying first class, on El Al, a very fancy meal. So the question is, you're sitting in a non-kosher restaurant. Is that something that we're going to allow? And that's the basis of the question. It's interesting because one of the many tshuvas that we will quote today was Asher Rav Asher Weizen, his Chelek Aleph. He has three different tshuvas on this topic. I'm just going to get the actual sefer. Discusses this in three different ways. Somebody asked me, what did I order? You know what? Only because you ask, I'm going to tell you because it's a very, very, very good story because it shows. So Michael Bloomberg insisted that I get something. We went to a number of different places. He was honored at the Waldorf Astoria. He was one of the guest speakers. And I actually sat next to him. He wanted me to write notes and things like that. So I was with the CEO of American Express, I remember, and a bunch of different people. And it was Friday afternoon, so I was very upset because it was before Shabbos. And it was very, I was very nervous about making Shabbos. And there was a Waldorf, fancy schmancy, in New York. They ran up to me and said, oh, we have kosher meals, but it's going to take too long. I said, I just want a fruit plate, just a fruit plate. That was easy. And then when I got the fruit plate, everybody at the table, including the CEO of American Express, said, that looked a lot better than our, whatever they were eating, ham or whatever it was. In the 21 Club, so I asked for a certain salad. I excused myself as if I was going to the bathroom, and I went to the chef, I went to the, sorry, the waiter, and I said, listen, the salad that I ordered, it's not what it says. All I want, just give me, iceberg lettuce, whatever I said. I said something very posh, no dressing, no nothing, iceberg lettuce. So the funny part of the story is that as I got this, had my nice Diet Coke, and I got the salad that basically was just cut up vegetables. And as I picked up the first forkful, 21 Club is a fancy, fancy place. I said to myself, was this really checked for bugs? Come on. And as I lifted it up, I see a bug crawling out of the lettuce. So I said, we're done with the lettuce. And I just had the, there was a cucumber there. There was sand. And Michael Bloomberg actually made fun of me and said, "Oh, well, how come you're not eating? Well, you're on a diet. You don't look like you're on a diet. You know, whatever." But in any case, well, they ordered. He loved tarfus. He was a big tarfus person. He loved eating tarfus. That was no question. Yeah. Coke Zero. Yeah. Back in the there's no Coke Zeros in those days. This is like before you were born, Joey. You know. So, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Right. So that's why I don't want to discuss. Right. I don't want to discuss the kashrus end of it because it's going to take a whole shiur. Right. So there is a lot of shilas. You have to ask a competent poysik. If I'm going to say, obviously, I'm not paskening. I'm not a poysik. But if we're going to learn the sources and show that maybe you can go to a non-kosher restaurant, then you have to ask the rabbi, what can I order? In my history, I found there to be a major problems because I don't want to say this, you know, to say it bluntly, they lie and they say that it's just going to be this and it's not. Again, you know, when you're discussing cut up fruit, you're using a knife. Generally, in fancy places, they use different knives for different things. That's not always true. It could have a little schmaltz on it from the non-kosher. That could be possible. So in any case, yeah, go ahead, Tev. Right, not pushing. Right, yeah. So again, it depends, you know, again, it's not even a question of, again, of asking a rav because it's really, and you should ask a rav, but it's really a metzius question. And I love kashrus. So I've investigated this and I've gone behind the counters and it's very difficult. A person has to be exceedingly careful. You know, the greatest example of this is McDonald's. McDonald's, for many years, they were sued a class action lawsuit where they were using non-kosher animal fat when they told vegetarians they could have the fries because we use, you know, so it's not kosher at all. That's true. But in my question, this is true. In the 21 Club, the guy told me, if you would have called me this morning, I have a meal that I put in for 1 hour and 45 minutes, double wrap, Luigi Siegel's, Mahajim and a Mahajir. Can I be seen there? That's the source here. So what I'm going to do is I'll share the screen. Yeah, here it is. So the source number one, so I pointed out that Rav Asher Weiss has this beautiful question in his Chelek Aleph. There the question was asked from Johannesburg, where they have a caf, and this is the question too. You have a cafeteria where you have this in many different businesses now, where you have a cafeteria that's totally not kosher, but you go down there and you can eat your kosher meal. It's the only place you eat. They don't want you at your desk, or at least there you can sit down, benachas, you can have a soda, you can get things that are kosher there. So he discusses, and he has a series of tshuvas, and Samach Hei discusses whether there's a difference between chashad and marasayan. Chashad seemingly means is that chashad, we're afraid that it's not going to look right? So he thinks that maybe there could be a chilek, that the makom, you know, chashad, maybe there would be a difference because it doesn't look well to the onlooker, because they're actually going to think it's mutter because Rav Hartzin's eating here, and they're going to do the aveira. Or it's marasayan, maybe a different thing, and he's not sure at the end whether or not we say that, where marasayan is just, it doesn't look good for Hartzin. I'm not going to eat there because I know that place isn't kosher, but why is he eating non-kosher? Then he discusses whether it's minatora midirabanan. But in any case, I want to give a few examples of this. So the example that I give is the Mishnah in Shkalim, source number one, Gimel Bet, where we said b'shlosha kupot shalshlosh sarim. So we talk about the different kupot they had, and it talked about the kohen himself. Ein hatorim nechnas, he's not allowed to go in. The kohen can't go in. This is talking about in the mikdash, so he can't have, again, all these different things, even with any sort of pockets, chafot, even whatever, gloves, all different things. Velo tefillin, velo bekameya, he can't even have an amulet. Any place that potentially he could sneak money, we would be afraid. So this is a very strange Mishnah. Why? The Kohen, we're afraid that he's going to steal money because what's going to happen? So it says that what's going to happen? So he says, what's going to happen? So if he says, Shema ya'ani, he's going to become poor. And what's going to happen? The person becomes poor. V'yomen ma'avon. You know why he's poor? Because mi'avon halishka, because he stole from the lishka. Or Shema ya'ashir, and people are going to say he became rich because he stole from the lishka. And then he says, why should I have biso machmir? Because the pasuk says, Vayisim nikiyim mihashemum Yisrael. We should always be, not just to Hashem, but to everyone, we should look like nothing's going on. No negias, no nothing. I should be careful. right? And that's why we have a halacha, by the way. When it comes to dayanim, they should recuse themselves from court cases and say, I know this person, and therefore I can't adjudicate this case. And then also, matzachein v'seichato be'enei elkim v'adam. We should always look good, chein, right, and doing righteousness. That's one example. Another example given is the Gemara here in Krisos, in Daf Chafal from Advais. Amar Rav Dam Dugim, right? It's very interesting, right? A good quiz question. The blood of fish is actually considered to be kosher. So now a guy wants to go on to Fear Factor. I don't know if that show is still on. He wants to go on to Fear Factor, and they say that they have to do these crazy things. So one thing, he wants to drink blood. So he says, I can't drink blood. I'm from, they actually had Fear Factor in Israel. So it was very interesting because a few times on Fear Factor, at least one time that I watched, I think I watched one show in my life of Fear Factor, it was a frum couple. I was very enamored to see. And they were very mechubadik. They when it came to eating things, they wouldn't let them eat bugs. They couldn't eat bugs. So they had a matzah bowl eating contest. I promise this is really true. They went to, I think it was Romania or something. They did something like that. So what if you were a Fear Factor and you say, I'm going to have dam. So they said, okay, but we don't want to tell people it's fish blood. That doesn't sound good. So it's usher to drink fish blood, it says. Why? So Rashi says, dim machlif badam behema v'roy v'omim mutter. A person sees you drinking I don't know why you would do this. You're drinking a delicious cup of delicious dam. And people, what are people going to say? They're going to say that it looks like you're drinking blood. We know of all animals are non-kosher, right? This is something we're very careful. That's why we salt our animals. We want to make sure there's no blood in it, right? And you're not allowed to have blood of any other animal, but a fish you're allowed to. But we don't allow this. I hear I have it in English as well. Rav said fish blood collected in a vessel is prohibited. Rashi says because it confused the person. It's marasayin. It looks like you're drinking real blood. And again, this could be the difference between chashad and marasayin. Another Gemara. And these are coming to an important point. The Gemara Rashi Shabbos Daf Samach Dalet. Amar Rav Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Kol Makom Shoshu Chamei Bnei Marasayim Afilu B'Chadei Chadar. So I read over Shabbos an article that was in Beis Yitzchak, and they had a whole idea of what is this Isser, very strange Isser that we don't normally have. That if you're telling me the whole Isser is because how it will look to other people, so then I should be able to drink, for example, the blood of the fish in my private house. And they say, no, Afilu B'Chadei Chadar. So I'll give you a good example of this. A person who's an Eretz Yisrael Jew, he does only one day of Yontif, and he goes to America. So maybe there would be a Makom Heter to say that he only has to do one day. But because if he's driving, people are going to see him. They're not going to know that he's from Israel. So then why can't he check his emails in his room? So we say it's also Mishum Chadei Chadar, because we assume that maybe there will be an onlooker. Somebody will hear a beep. Somebody will hear it. You're not allowed to do it. So it's interesting that you have this isser of the innermost chamber that marasayin is prohibited, because maybe somebody will see. And the reason why I bring this is the Gemara continues and says, Tanur Rabbanon, v'lo v'zug v'af, so he says, gives different cases, that a person can't go out on Shabbos. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, for example, let me give you the following case. You have on Shabbos that we tell a person can't bring his animal out with a bell. The bell is around the neck of the animal. Why? Because even if you plug the bell and it's not going to make sound, we're not afraid of making sound on Shabbos, which is an isser. Might, by the way, even be an isser when it comes to the Torahs that have the bells on it, but not for now. But the appearance of the prohibition of marasayin is that it looks like, why do they have bells? Because they're ready to go to the marketplace. So it looks like if you're taking him for a walk, he's going to be going to his marketplace, and that's something that's going to be usser. So again, marasayin comes up again. So Rashi over here says, why? Because Shema Chashadu Be'isser. Be'er Choshed, we're afraid, Chashad again. Why? Because it looks like the person's going to the city fair. I'm going to the fair to sell my cow or to get things, wares for the cow, and that's going to be usher because I'm afraid that a person is going to, it doesn't look right. Even if my cow's only in my house, I can't do this. The Pre-Chadosh, our important commentaries, obviously, halachic commentaries, the Pre-Chadosh says, the bigger. And he says, "V'avo delo lahosif." He says, "I want you to be very, and this is important for us." He says, "Don't add on to this iser. She'ein goizer leiser midatoy. Don't add things." The pre-chadash is machadish, and he says, "Only things that are written are iser. Don't make up a new thing now. Don't go ahead and tell me that you're not allowed to eat in a non-kosher restaurant, for example." The Gemara doesn't talk about that at all. The chashad that it talks about, whether it's the fish or whether it's the, we'll see a number of different things going into the lishka, whatever it might be, that's what's usher. Comes along the Ramah And the Ramah gives a case that's really halacha lemaisa today. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch and Yerodea Simon, Pei Zayin, says, Hagav, v'nagu la'asos chalav mishketin. Right? This was like a chiddush in the time of the Ramah. Now this is like all that people have. Almond milk, right? Soy milk, almond milk, all these different types of milk. Omnichim ba basarof. He says, and now you want to make a delicious schnitzel, and you found this recipe where you have an almond milk, whatever it might be. Hurl ve'eno rak mid derabanan. So maybe we're going to allow this because we know that basar v'chalav is, as it sounds, meat and milk, not chicken and milk. We asr it because it's asr mid derabanan. Aval basar v'hema yesh la'niach etzel achalav shkedim mishum marazayin. So he says a chiddush, right? I'll bring the chiddush to our generation, right? You go to any simcha, and the last course, they serve delicious dessert, and they bring out coffee. And what do they bring out with the coffee? Coffee creamer. Coffee creamer looks like milk, maybe even smells like milk. So says the Ramah, and Rav Moshe Feinstein has a truth on this as well, you have to either bring out the container that says on it, OU Pariv, or put some, this is what the Ramah suggests, put actually some pieces of almonds in so that people know that it's not real milk. Very interesting, says the Ramah's halacha. So the question nowadays, different hashkacha organizations do different things. The policy of the OU, I know, as being an OU caterer, is that if we have any sort of milk during, quote-unquote milk, during a busser meal, it must be labeled. It must be in either it's a regal packaging or say in an OUP. You can't just have it out in a, what we call a carafe of it. They don't allow that. It has to say what it is, Mishum Marasayin. Now, this is interesting because, as we'll see in a moment, everybody seems to know about it now. Everybody knows that it's not real. And in fact, a person could actually go, I think, if I'm not mistaken, assuming there's kosher coffee in Starbucks, and you could order a power of milk. This is something very common. Well, you have to be careful. I've seen some milks that are advertised as, you know, power of milks, and they turned out the hashkacha is dairy. But in any case, let's go on. So the Ramah is mechadesh that maybe if it's derabanan, I'm not choshish with marasayin as much. Interesting. Comes along the shach. Afilu, says the shach in Simon Pezayin, afilu b'midei derabanan chashin l'marasayin. What's going on? Why does the Ramah say that? Doesn't matter if it's derais or derabanan. Marasayin applies to all cases. He doesn't know what he's trying to say. He doesn't understand it. Fine. And finally, the Mishnah, in Mesachas Kalim, and this is a really important Mishnah, says in Kilayim, that's okay, Kilayim Perek Tet Mishnah Bey, says the following, Hashorim v'hilchach o behem mishum Kilayim. So we know we have the Isser of Kilayim. We're not allowed to generally have shatness. So there were two types of she'arim and kalach silk are not considered shatness. What? But they are prohibited due to their appearances. Because they look like wool and linen, these two types of things, you're not allowed to use it. Comes along the Rabbeinu Shimshon, and he says, no, that's not true. But, I'm sorry, he says, one is not prohibited to have these special silk loops that place in wool rope. Why? Because it's very common use. So the Mishnah seems to define that there's no chashash of maris ayin, comes along the Rush here in source number 8, and says the following, Hilchach yesh lachosh bipnei marasayin, aval ha'idna big day meshi. If you have a big day meshi, mitzjanim b'neihem ve'kol makir moso, everybody knows that silk is not linen, and they know the difference between it, and therefore silk and wool is going to be mutter. Why? Because the world understands. So let's review for a moment. There are three possible heterim why we will allow marasayin. Number one, don't add new asura. Source number 4, the Pri Chadash says, we don't add new Asurim. And therefore, if it's something new and it might look like Marasayim, we're not going to add to it. Number 2, and there, by the way, just to get to the topic already of restaurants, one would argue that was something that we were Choshesh before. Okay, number 2, the Isser is only an Isser Durabanan. The Ramah, going out to a restaurant is an Isser Durabanan? The answer is no, because these restaurants serve mahajim in a mahajim, basar v'chalav. And in fact, I happened upon, unfortunately, very, very upsetting to me. It was a review that somebody, some famous restaurant reviewer here in Eretz Yisrael. And during Bidud, it was cute, he was in quarantine and he was staying in his house, so he got deliveries. So he decided, I guess he's in Tel Aviv, he decided one Thursday night, is he going to get delivery of cholent from a big cholent place in Bnei Brak. And he gave it a very nice review, by the way. So I was interested to see the next video of him. He goes into a kosher restaurant and he says to them, "You're not going to get a high score because anybody who eats steak without dipping it in butter first, that's not a steak." So what do we know? We know that many non-kosher restaurants, mamash, they serve basar v'challa, midoraisa basar v'challa, right? So therefore, that wouldn't help us at all. But maybe number three reason that the Rush gave is that people know about it, therefore it's not asar, right? The common person who's going to look into a restaurant that's totally treif, he knows the place is treif, and he sees a guy with a yarmulke there, what is he thinking to himself? Mistama, I would think he's thinking to himself, what? This guy's okay. This guy's not doing anything wrong. This guy is on a business meeting. He's probably that food that he's eating there is probably kosher food. Mahadrim and a mahadrim. Again, getting around the issue of can you order anything, which I agree is problematic. Interesting. And to that, some of our modern day tshuvas will potentially answer this question. So I go to tshuva number one, source number nine, which is the Mincha Shlomo, the great Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He was asked on Yom Kippur whether a person can wear shoes called korpod. I don't know what type of shoes these are. I asked three Israelis, and they said they never heard of this type of shoe. But it's very obvious what they are. Asher b'ma'aratam heim doimim mamish l'nai'or. Right? Back in the day when I was in America, I used to do a lot of my shoe shopping in a place called Payless. Payless used to be exclusively cheap shoes, but they weren't leather shoes, right? Old man-made materials. They look like Shabbos shoes. So this is a good shiloh on Yom Kippur, Tisha B'av. Can I wear this? I had the shiloh come up, unfortunately, the following way. Very sad story. When I was working for the Ministry of Defense of Israel, so every year we had a meeting where I was one of the things I was in charge of is the Army, the U.S. Army. I was a liaison between the U.S. Army and the Israeli Army. So there was one big meeting every year. We were mechabe, the officials would come from the U.S. Army, and we would talk about things that we can buy from them. So they sent out a letter that meeting is going to be, I'm just making up, July 28th. Poof, look on the calendar, and it turns out it's on Tisha B'av. So I go to my boss, who is from, and I said to him, "This, we got to reschedule a meeting." "It's okay." He says, No, you can't embarrass the army. They picked the date. It has to be that date." I go, "Well, who cares?" Just, he wouldn't let me do it. So I told him that the meeting was before Chatzos. I said, "I'm not going. My Rebbe won't allow it." He was very mad at me. So there was a woman that I work with. She was also involved in it. She was going to go. She was from. She wasn't happy with me. So she asked me all these different shilas, like I wasn't even a rabbi then. So one of the shilas were, is that, what is she going to do? She's going to wear sneakers to the meeting. It doesn't look right. So she actually had a good etza with the chair, because you know the chairs that you have, you know, they go up and down. So she thought that if you brought it down to the lowest level, people would think she's a little crazy that she's lower than anybody else, but maybe that would be mutter. Okay, maybe. I told her we should try to like have like a pre-meeting, and the real meeting should be at least be after Chatzos maybe. But in any case, so she asked, can she wear shoes that are non-leather shoes? They look like leather shoes. This is exactly Rav Shlomo Zalman's question. So he says, "V'chein chola shemutar na'alayim shalor." What about a chola? So we say on Yom Kippur that these anuyim don't apply to somebody who has some sort of issue like a chola. Imsarach al kapanim lachush lamaras ayin kevan de lo nekar. There's no way that you're going to know that these shoes are non-leather shoes. You're going to be shocked. You look at those shoes and you say to yourself, "Wow, why is he wearing leather shoes on Yom Kippur?" Either, what am I going to say? I'm going to say, "Well, it's mutar because he must be a chola. Look at him." Right? When you see somebody sit on a chair on Tisha B'av, you look at the guy, Nebuch, he's an old man. Of course, that's mutter for him to do. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch, Le'anias Daiti, right? This is the second paragraph in source number nine. Nira Damaris Ayin Neskar B'Shas, Hainu B'Dover Hamutter, Rachm De'Shinira Ka'Oser L'Chein Oser. The reason why Maris Ayin is Oser, because it looks like something that's Oser. Ki Yadua Melechas Dam, like we said about Dam Dagim, Chalav Shkedim, right? It looks like real chalav. It looks like I'm drinking real blood. But these nale korpam, hainu nira kinale shalor. They look like actual leather shoes. V'nira dahare zeh doime, and it looks similar, doime le kol dover. She'asar chacham ibnei marasayin. It looks like something asar. Mishpatet heter, right? It goes, but I have a good question for you, and we're going to get to this question. This is a great question, guys, to think about. What about the heter of a girl shetel, woman shetel? I don't know, you know, how professional you are, but I have a very hard time telling the difference between a wig and normal women's hair, except that normally a wig looks much better than their normal hair, I'm told. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, we allow women to wear wigs, right? And you and I may not be able to tell the difference. Is that real hair or not real hair? Is she frum or is she not frum? I don't know. But it's allowed. Why? Most people know to tell the difference. We'll see where Moshe finds it has to say that. I can't tell the difference. He says the chaylin as daiti would be also. It's not the same thing. Most people can't look at a pair of shoes and say, "Oh, those are from Payless for sure. That's okay. He could wear it. If it looks like leather, we think it's leather, right?" I'm not talking about a case where a guy's wearing a, you know, a Nike shoe and it's obvious that you know, it looks a little bit different and you know, there's a little stripes. I don't assume that stripe has leather on it. But when it comes to the chola, the person knows that he's wearing leather shoes, and he knows that he must be a chola, so that's going to be a different case. Fine, he allows it for the chola, but not for a regular person. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a number of awesome tshuvas on this topic. One that comes to mind is a tshuva that was asked in the height of chutzpah, that this person asked the tshuva, and he says that Rav Moshe Feinstein, why are you letting your wife drive you after she lights candles? It's Marasayan, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein was driven to Tiferes Yushalayim, and his wife already lit candles. She did it with a Tanai, and he says, it looks like your wife's driving on Shabbos, because everybody know, how do they know she made a Tanai? And he actually writes that he thinks there's no Cheshasha Marasayan there, but I'll never do it again, he writes. Very interesting. Rav Moshe and his godless. At source number 10, Rav Moshe was asked a question about going into a non-Orthodox shul. Is that considered to be Marasayan? Because it's going to look wrong. It's going to look like that the person's davening there. Now, this has become quite popular these days because many of these conservative shuls are dying with membership, and they have no choice but to rent it out to an Orthodox shul, maybe in the basement or something like that. So there are different shilas I don't want to discuss, but I was involved in one because I was Masada Kedushin at a wedding. And the Ufruf took place in the Sephardic temple, which is unfortunately one of the few Sephardic shuls in the world that's not Orthodox. And they allowed it at the end, but they said you have to go in a separate entrance, which we did. We went into the ballroom entrance, so that doesn't look like we're going into the shul. So Rav Moshe was well known for being very much in general against people being involved in any shape or form in any conservative types of events. At the time of Rav Moshe, he thought that we could fight it and they wouldn't be so popular. Now, unfortunately, the opposite is happening. It's not popular at all. In any case, fine. Let's move on. So Rav Moshe does say in this tshuva, he was asked about, what about restaurants? Uvedavar im mutter le'echol b'restauranta. Look how he writes, right? Restaurant. So he says, well, a person's going in and he's only going to have machle shlab. So there's two shilohs over here. He asked whether or not kosher food, non-kosher, I'm not talking about that. And I'm very much against these vegan type of restaurants. People have some funny duddy hashkacha from a rabbi, it's open Shabbos and everything, and we're going to trust it. I'm not into that at all. But here he asked, what about going into the restaurant itself? Forget about what you're going to eat there. L'chein af lachnis l'sham ochel dvarm hayodim she'in bahem shum chashash iser yesh l'asar mevnei marasayim v'chashad. Eich im hu ra'ev biyoter umitztayer toiva, right? I'm dying. I'm so hungry. And I just want to go into this bodega that happens to have trade food, mahadran and hadran. But they also sell a Coke and Wise potato chips. And everybody knows that. So he says, well, you're mitztayer, that would be okay. And he says, but if you can do it besina that people don't see, that's going to be better. But below mitztayer, it's better to be machmir on yourself. Don't. So Rav Moshe clearly says, don't go to a restaurant unless there's some inyan of sar. Okay, that's tshuva. I want to put it on the side for a moment because Rav Asher Weiss is going to speak about this tshuva, and he's very bothered by this tshuva. A tshuva that's very close to my heart is source number 11, and this is the tshuva we discussed Rav Shlomo Zalman's view about why it's mutter to wear a wig that's not a that looks like a woman's hair. So here Rav Moshe was asked this straight out. The reason why I said it's close to my heart is the person who asked this question was a gentleman by the name of, we called him in school, Mr. Lapa, David Lapa. Well, here he calls a Rav. So Mr. Lapa was a teacher in Hafter, and he asked the following question. He said, "My wife got a new shaitel, and I have to tell you something. It's not like those ugly shaitels women used to wear. It looks real. How is she allowed to wear it? It's Maaser Sayin. People are going to see my wife in the street, and they're going to yell, 'Shiksa!' Right? They're going to think my wife became matfrum. She doesn't cover her hair. It's not going to look good for me, Mr. Lapa." So he deals with this Peiros Nachris. And Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, "V'atam Poshet, came with Shalom Matsinu B'Gemara Isser, Ach Miluf M'Makomas Orchem Mishum Maaser Sayin. De'ein ma'alav chad midach iser marasayin bechad bechol davar shaser upeas nachas vadahi ein machliv chada de'ein ze iser lav certainly not an iser daraisa ela iser ase da'ala isha she has to have follow her snius and therefore maybe a person is going to say that it's not going to be aser again in the way that she's covering it because even if you hold that it's a daraisa she's at least covering her hair for herself and that's going to make it certainly a derabanan and therefore it would be mutter." And he says, and then he says further, this is a great line. Mr. Lapa was a clean-shaven gentleman. So he says to him, "Let me ask you a question, Mr. Lapa. Why don't people come up to you and say that you're violating halacha? Look at you. You must have used a razor. Why are you so clean-shaven?" He says, "The mutlak aleh hazakan b'misparayim." Because people who shave don't have... Nobody goes up to the person and says, "You must use a razor." We know that there are electric shavers today. So just like that's us, sir, now you're going to be machmir on your wife? The imkain, the isha she'ikir, he nimsas bena nashim. He says, "I can't tell the difference, but my wife tells me and other women that they could tell the difference between this. Therefore, most people know that there's a difference." The keva and the yadua lechol sheish lilvosh peya nachris shetia nidemes kisera isha. Even though it looks exactly like women's hair, asmo, that in fact is usually another woman's hair. Eich, it's not usher. And therefore, Rav Moshe writes by Peyas Nachris, he doesn't think there would be an Isra of Maaser Sayin. Shlo Isra Rabbanan, the Isra Zeh. Right? He didn't ask for it. So, just to end off Rav Moshe's tshuva, Rav Moshe says, and therefore he writes, Yachol, Limchos b'yad ishto harabani. You shouldn't leave Limchos yado. Don't tell her what to do. It's her mitzvah. Einu Yachol hatil chumras aleh. You can't take your chumras of telling her you're not allowed to wear a sheitel. You can't do that. Just like you're clean shaven. Because nowadays, look at you, you're clean shaven, stop making chumras, and he said that this would be usher, and it wouldn't be considered to be Maaser Sayin. It's usher to be against her, and to say to her, you have to be machmir. Okay. So based on this, Rav Usher Weiss picks up in his last of the tshuvas here in Chelik Aleph on the topic of Maaser Sayin. And as I said, he was asked this question, whether or not a person, he nishalti pamin rabbis, imutur, can a person go into a non-kosher restaurant? Biyosav Johannesburg, Nishalti, I got this question. Biyasifa Rabbanei Ha'ir, Ladat Legabei Anashim She'avdo B'chevra Gedola, and they have a joint cafeteria there. So is a person allowed to eat there? Hayimutur La'ovdim Hamedaktikim B'kashrus to eat there because maybe it's going to look wrong. So says Rav Usher Weiss Shlita the following. We just brought the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he says he has a very strange lashon. He says, you can't eat in a restaurant, but if it's makom tsar, then it's mutter. Ela b'makom tsar, pseita hetiru, he says. He says, it's okay, because sometimes we allow things, mishum klachar yad, right? For example, in the case of a person needs a certain type of milk from an animal, so maybe he could get it in a very strange klachar yad way, maybe directly from the animal itself. But he goes, but when he done, he goes, ain, he goes, what would be the heter here? He's not dying. So he doesn't like Rav Moshe's tshuva. This is not the first time. Rav Usher Weiss is well known for disagreeing with tshuvas of Rav Moshe and many other gedolim. That's his darko. It doesn't sit well with him, he would say, where he says, you know, it's not sensible to me. But oh, but davar, he quotes the Tosfos, lo hitir maaser sayin ela mishum tsar. He says, it's before she doesn't understand that tsarich li iyun b'divrei Rav Moshe. And therefore he says, maybe we have two reasons why we allow you to eat in this type of restaurant. Number one, yesh la ayin im chashash maaser sayin din klalihu oshema ein lanu ella al ma she'asru chazal mishum maaser sayin ve'aleihem ein lahosif. We're not going to add a serum over here. V'kan rachalku b'zeh gedolei yamagan avram and others. Echa pri chadash, as we learned, says that we don't add a serum and therefore there's no iser of maaser sayin. Ella Mahotoba Roy Linhog Lahachmer. Of course, you should be Machmer if you can. Well, Makam Sarich Vitarich, I would say that Chazal didn't mamish say that it's usher to go into a non-kosher restaurant and eat kosher there, and therefore maybe we could be that that's a heter because there is a Makam Hatzarich over here. And number two, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, says Rav Asher Weiss, Kol Geder Maris Ayin Mishtanel Fi Amakam Liazman, the rush, right? Times have changed. It's true that maybe 20 or 30 years ago, if I saw you having, right after a fleshik meal, having coffee, and I see that the coffee is not black, I say, how do you have milk in it? Oh, there's this new thing called coffee cream or almond milk. Everybody knows about it now. So he says, how can you go ahead and tell me that it's going to be something that's usher? And what's the examples he gives? Our examples that Rav Moshe gave. Gilun HaZakan, right? People who are clean shaven. Nobody's just going up to a frum person and saying, okay, people have other problems. Rav Chaim Kanievsky famously tells people that they have to keep their beard because he thinks that a person should, that's other reasons, about the Kabbalah and other things that you should always have a beard. But you can't tell me they're going to look at you and think that you used a razor. And Peyas Nachris is the same thing. And therefore, Iker de la Achashe Rabim Nohogim Kain, he says, because many people were knowing this way, he doesn't think it's Marasayan. Again, and this comes out to be, I'll just stop sharing for a moment, this comes out to be the Iker question over here. And that is that, how does it look to the onlooker? And I believe that the onlooker knows that if a person's eating in a non-kosher restaurant, he's probably okay. So I get the shiloh, so should I wear my yarmulke or not? I think dafka you should wear your yarmulke because you're not hiding anything. If Hartstein all the time wears his yarmulke and now I see him in a non-kosher restaurant with his yarmulke off, that I think is going to be the ikker of marasayin. Why? Because it looks to me like something funny is going on over here. That's what I would think. Furthermore, we could say that if a person's having the non-kosher, again, you have the possibility like follows. What if you go into a non-kosher restaurant, this happens a lot, just to get a cup of coffee, right? Right? McDonald's, whatever. So I think that that's a dover yadua nowadays that people do that. I think it's well known that people who use the bathroom, they used to be, people didn't do any of these things. Again, I think that in Eretz Yisrael is different. I think that there's like an unspoken thing that we don't go into non-kosher restaurants. It's hard to believe this, but if you go a little bit farther out of the yeshiva, right by Big, there's a kosher aroma. And if you go a little bit farther away where the new IKEA is, there's a gas station that used to have Chumas Elio, now it's called Chumas 38. It has a treif. Treif is not a nice word, but it has a non-kosher, open Shabbos aroma. But you can't go in there, right? You have these rest stops in Eretz Yisrael sometimes. I would not go in there. But to go into the gas station store, that every gas station has a little store, even if that gas station store is open Shabbos, that's not a problem because people buy things there all the time. To go across the street to your office and go into a bodega that sells deli and all the treif things and there's a big sign that says Boar's Head in it, that would be not Maris Ayin because everybody knows that people also buy sodas there. People also buy chips there. People, I don't think that's usher. But I think even the Shiloh of the restaurants, there's a muckum to be makil because I think that it's something that's known. We could argue that if you live in a strange community, right? I once had a business trip to Arkansas and the gentleman was insisting, I was with a lieutenant colonel in the Israeli army and they were insisting that we go out to lunch. And the lieutenant colonel said to me, we have to go out to lunch. It's not nice. We're embarrassing him. So there it could be that it's a Maris Ayin case. There it could be a big Shiloh because, you know, one could say that everybody's going to, they don't know that. Okay, that could be a question. I'm just going to give you two questions that came up in my life of just recently where I violated my assignment. One of them I remember. I don't know if I remember the second one. The first one is we had a Shabbaton. We had the Yarche Kalav NCSY, and they were getting personal pizzas delivered for some meeting that they were having. So the chef said to me he has a problem that the pizzas are not going to stay hot because we have to bring it to another location. He says, do me a favor, go out to a local Treif pizza store and get me some pizza boxes. Sounds like a good idea. So that's a problem. Because here I was in the middle of New Jersey somewhere, not the Jewish part of New Jersey. And I went into a pizza store and I walked in. I said, I just want to buy the pizza boxes. So yes, it's true that people go into pizza stores and get a soda. I don't think that's so obvious. And here I was with a big yarmulke on with 10 pizza boxes walking out. Now, people must have thought I was very strong. There was no pizza in there. That's why I was able to carry it. But I asked my rabbi of Sobolevsky, and he thought that that for sure was Maharas Hayyan. It's not something that a person should do. It's true. Second Shiloh would be, I've had this before as well. I had movers that came to my house way back when I was moving from my apartment in Teaneck to my house in Bergenfield. And they were very large, Black Lives Matter. They're very large, robust black Muslims. And it came to lunchtime, and they said to me, "You're gonna buy us lunch, right?" I was like, "Yeah, whatever you want, whatever you want." And they said to me, "Do me a favor, don't be like all the other Jews and buy us a pie of pizza. All the Jews love to buy pizza. Can you get us deli sandwiches?" I said, "Sure." They were doing a good job, and I was scared to death of them. So I'm about to go to Noah's Ark, the kosher restaurant, to buy deli sandwiches, and I realized, what the heck? What am I, crazy? I'm gonna spend now $16.95 on a deli sandwich for them? No way. I went into the parking lot of a local eatery, big sign by the way, it said Boar's Head, and I called the number and I said, "The same deli sandwiches, they half the price, right?" So the guys or whatever, and I said, "Listen, I'm really sorry, I can't go into your place because it's Maharas Hayyan. Can you come out of the restaurant and I'll pay? I pay by credit card." So they bought it out to me. So that might be Maharas Hayyan too, because so what? I didn't go into the restaurant. Somebody could have seen, this is in Teaneck. Somebody brought hartshtein, a big bag from a Boar's Head ham place. I think that would be Maharas Hayyan as well. As it turned out, I violated another bad thing. They had the sandwiches and they said to me, "Oh, these sandwiches are so good." And the big guy comes up to me and he says, "You know, thank you very much. I know that sandwiches cost you a lot, but you know, we only eat halal, which is kosher. So we're not allowed to have things like, I don't know, like Boar's Head." I'm like, oh my God. I didn't tell him, you know, that you have to do tshuva on Ramadan for that, whatever. But in any case, I think that the definition of these cases, again, I do think that it's a big shiloh. I'm not discounting the what you can eat and so on and so forth, and that's something you have to look into. And I think I would be much more machmir nowadays. It was my early days of work. I wouldn't allow it. I've had other cases where I've gone to non-kosher restaurants and I only get a soda or something like that, and that's it. But even that, one could argue, you know what? But again, I think there is makom to be mekel. We gave three possibilities of why it would be mutter in general, Maharas Hayyan, and I think we could certainly apply that nowadays. People know and people see these things, and that would be the potential heter. Any questions before we end this wonderful session together? Any questions?